You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at wicn.org. Good evening, I'm Al Voner, and this is this week's edition of The Public Eye. So nice to have you with us. Life does not always throw us a smooth curve. Many of us face challenges throughout life. I guess it's probably a way of learning. I was always told that since the time I was a young boy. But those challenges, depending on who you are, what you are, can sometimes pose tremendous stress and really interfere with growth. But I always say that there is, when you have faith and resilience, there's a way of turning it all around. And you're probably wondering, hey, Al, what are you talking about? Well, my guest this week is a New England native and now living in Worcester, Michael Gaeta. And Michael reached out to me a few weeks ago, and I thought his story and his life story, that is, was super important. And I thought, it'd be nice to have Mike on to talk about the challenges that one goes through life, how easy it is to throw in the towel and turn the corner. I should say turn the cheek and go another direction. But Michael somehow has overcome many challenges and really turned his life around. And at a later stage in life, nothing wrong with that. So for the next half hour, we'll be talking with Michael Gaeta about his life and the challenges that he's had to deal with and where he's headed at this point. Hey, Mike, nice to have you with us.
Thanks, Al. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your program and to talk to your listeners.
You know, I love the idea of having you on, one, because as I said at the introduction, the fact of the matter is that, you know, we get up in the morning, we go, oh, I got to go to work, or I got to face my boss or the coworkers, or, you know, the kids are driving me crazy, I got a mortgage payment. Hey, you know what? We're all dealing with those kinds of issues, and it does make for a very stressful situation. But sometimes folks like yourself come on board. And your introductory letter to me and, subsequent emails. And I'm saying to myself, boy, he went through an awful lot in his life. And, he's still here and he's still positive and he's turning it all around. But let me start by asking you, tell me a little bit about those challenges. What were the major challenges? What were the things that would easily have set you back, but you were able to overcome?
Okay. Well, my father was a heavy drinker, and my mother and he had to raise five kids. And at the age of 17, I stuck out my arm for an injection of heroin, and it ruined my life. And it led me to places I never thought I would go, such as the state prison a few times, overdoses, losing everything I had over and over, despair, frustration. People didn't want me around. And I just could not get out of it. And I kept trying and I kept fighting. And it was really difficult. And it's only by the grace of God that I'm alive today and talking to you, Al.
I have to believe, Mike, and I want to get your sense on this, in the introductory letter. First of all, Mike, I hope you don't mind me telling people that, Mike is 73 years old, is now an author, a filmmaker, a musician, a person in recovery, a man who helps others, a man who's hoping to turn other people's lives around. And the things that seem impossible, as you were just talking about, Mike, I mean, starting off at a young age, becoming addicted to drugs, having grown up in a family where there was a dependency, whether it's drugs or alcohol, very difficult, I would have to say. So how did you pull it all together? How did you get beyond that?
A big thing is that I got so many chances, Al, that people don't usually get. I kept trying. Some people only get one chance in life, especially if you pick up something like hard drugs. But I kept living through it. And it's just by the grace of God that I did. And I just kept fighting. And then finally, I hooked up with my 12-step group, and I made friends there. And then I found a connection with my higher power, and who I call the Lord God Almighty. And that has saved my life. But just today, it's only one day, Al.
Is that the way to handle it, Mike? I mean, I tend to agree. Whether you have an addiction problem or just like I said at the outset, many of us just have daily stress in our life, and I've realized, like you have, that just take a step back. I'm not saying that the problem goes away, but take a step back, take a deep breath, and say, all right, look, let me just get through the next 24 hours, and then I'll worry about next week, next month, or next year. Is that how you look at it?
I do. I have plans that I make my plans for the future, but I try to live every day to the fullest. You know, I always go to my recovery meetings. I always pray. I play music. I make videos. I'm making an instruction video now. There's 12 of them, and it's called Computers Before the Internet. And I'm putting all those together, trying to fill my days with as much as I can, and always looking for the opportunity to help somebody else.
Mike, was there a mentor in your life? Was there somebody that recognized that you wanted to survive? You wanted to get beyond the problems that were plaguing you, and kind of helped you along the way, or was it just reaching deep inside yourself?
There were many. One of my sponsors is named Handsome Jeff, and I met him about 12 years ago. And he started calling me, excuse me, Foggy, because he says, you're always in a fog. and he also called me the Schemer and Dr. Mike, because I was on the methadone program. I was always angry, and he was clean and sober, and he was there for me. And now he calls me the former Foggy, but I say, wait, it's too late. I got the license plate, and I do. It says Foggy 1.
It sounds funny, but I'm sure at the time you were going through many, many challenges. But it sounds like this guy saw something within you. Something that would have, he knew there was something valuable, something that needed to be salvaged. Would it have been any different, Mike, had you not had somebody there?
I would have been all by myself, Al. And when I was by myself, inside my own head, filled with obsession to use drugs and drink, I was totally isolated and dying. I was going no place. So he was part of what pulled me out of that quagmire.
Now, helping you to get beyond that is just the first step, and I imagine that there were many challenges beyond that. But as I said in your letter to me, you're working with your group, creating videos, a musician, and now even going back to college, right?
That's right. I'm going back to Worcester State University starting in a couple of weeks, and I'm taking a class called The History of Rock and Roll, which is just a fun class,
yeah.
And another one called Computer Animation, which is like making cartoons. And I'm very close to a degree in communication, but I'm not really interested in getting it. I would if my mother were alive, but I'm just doing it for the fun of it. And to be around people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you may decide to go over the finish line if you're that close. Let me ask you, because we didn't talk too much, but I know you mentioned your father, and now you mentioned your mother. Is there still family in your life? I know parents have probably certainly passed on, but siblings, cousins, people that you still are in contact with, family members that you still have a relationship with?
There is. My nephew, Marky, he's my brother's kid. My brother was a military hero, and he drank himself to death when he was in his 50s. And Marky has been sober for 14 years. He's autistic. He has 2 college degrees, and he washes dishes for a living. So my hope and my dream is to pass everything I have from the book, which is called The Autobiography of Foggy Michael, to pass it on to him. I don't want him to have to wash dishes. And he's a great kid. We talk all the time. And I certainly love him, Al.
Yeah, it sounds like you do, Mike. I'm sure you deep inside, you know, those emotions have even helped you in many ways. You see what he's going through, and you've gone through many of those challenges yourself, and decided that, look, if I can help a younger person, if I can help another person, you know, we want to do that as soon as possible. I just wanted to step in and remind our listeners that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. This week on The Public Eye, my guest is, they call him Foggy Michael, but his real name is Michael Gaeta, a New England native, now living here, right here in the city of Worcester. Michael reached out to me, and I'm still, Mike, I got to tell you, I'm still amazed that very few people would want to come forward and talk about the difficulties, the challenges that you face, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, hitting bottom, probably more often than most people realize, and yet being able to find within yourself the strength to turn it all around. Which leads us to where we are this evening and talking about your life. Did you ever get married? And no children of your own, right?
No, I have a son.
Oh,
he
okay.
He lives in Florida. His name is Michael. He's in his 50s. We're not really in touch. I wish I could be, but we're not. I pretty much give all my attention to my friends who are in my life right now. And I just want to grow and build friendships and just continue on day by day. And who knows who I can help with my story, because there's another thing too. Last year I had a major bowel resection and I had an ostomy and a bag that carries waste from your body. Mm-hmm. And then I broke my hip and I had a line in my arm to get nutrition, and it was one of the most difficult things I've gone through. So I'm crawling out of that too, Al.
Mike, I'm looking at the original letter, and now you're adding to that, and I'm saying, can it get any worse? Health issues, addiction issues, the personal things that we all go through. Just to go back for a moment, I don't want to dwell on it, but I assume that your son knows that you've gone through many challenges and that you're turning your life around, right?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. He just lives his life. I believe in live and let live.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives his, I live mine, and we're fine with that.
How difficult is it when those moments, you're living right here in the city of Worcester, you're living alone, is it difficult sometimes when, hours, days pass, where you're not always connecting with people, at least not face-to-face? Thoughts of those demons, do they come back often?
They can, and they do, because I still think about using drugs and drinking now and then, but not much at all. They're not paramount to me anymore. They used to run my mind. I had the obsession, and that's part of addiction, not being able to stop thinking about it. And then once I pick it up, then compulsion sets in. The body just wants to keep on doing it.
Yeah, I hear that. I've heard that in the past, that once you start on it, it's like the monkey on your shoulder. You can't get rid of it, and very, very difficult. But, again, I'm looking at this letter here, filmmaker, musician, a person going back and education-wise, speaking to groups, in inspiring them and telling them that there is another path in life. So it sounds, Mike, it sounds like to alleviate those demons that have been with you throughout most of your life, one, talking about it with other people, but more importantly, actually spreading inspiration to other people has been paramount in helping you to turn things around, right?
Yes, definitely. And one way I can do that is it's through the book that I wrote. I'm hoping that the sufferers and families of sufferers can read my story and also believe that they can do this too. It can be done. People can change. People can start over. It doesn't matter how old you are. It's never too late.
But mentioning of the book, going back to that, because I just had a chance to just starting to go through. It's really, you've got it. It's almost minute to minute. You've got this every, it's amazing because I wish I could recall every single moment of my life. It sounds like you've been able to categorize and put in the book each moment, those challenges, those dark moments, and then those moments where you were, where you saw recovery, where you saw a chance to turn your life around. And it's very personal, though, Mike. I guess that's what I'm getting at. How difficult was it? I mean, you knew that once you put this story between the pages of a book, people were going to read it, and you were really putting your life out there. Was that the original intent?
At first, I was scared. I wasn't really sure what was going to happen. But when I finally hit the publish key, I said, this is my start of trying to build total honesty, absolutely tell the truth about everything in my life. No more secrets, no more elephant in the living room, nothing like that. I want to tell the truth. And it started to clear a lot of that wreckage up inside of me.
The journey does not take a set path. You can start off with positive thoughts. You can start off with, the goals that you want to reach. How often did you have those positive thoughts and have those goals only to find them being derailed by maybe, the addiction again or just, personal demons within you? Has that been a lifelong process of getting beyond each of those challenges?
I started getting serious about wanting recovery back around in 2001. And that was the last time I got out of prison. And that's when I really started getting serious about wanting recovery. But I just kept failing. I would go on the methadone program. I tried to do that. I just kept on drinking. I would go back to recovery. I would crawl back in each time I got beat up more and more. But I just kept doing it. And it's the grace of God that I lived through it, Al. That's why I'm here today. It's nothing to do with me.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, this you are emblematic of perhaps many people across the globe. We don't need to talk about it daily. Many people, you can have a neighbor and not even realize, some of the demons within their lives. We all have challenges, as I said. But Mike, there's no question as we're discussing this evening that you've had more than your share. And not just the issue of, things are tough at work, or I haven't mowed the grass in 2 weeks, or I need a new roof. Yeah, I mean, those are the things that many of us deal with on a day-to-day basis. Here we're talking about, as I said, addiction, incarceration in the prison system, countless setbacks within your life. I just think it's inspiration that someone was able to, like yourself, was able to, one, turn your life around, realize that life is worth living. I don't know, you don't know whether we're going to get another bus is going to come by and another life down the road. Who knows? But right now you're living for the here and now. And you said something to me earlier before we even went to broadcast, and I thought it was very encouraging, and I have to agree with you, is that as much as you think about the future, right now, the important thing, and I think it's been helpful, and I want to get your sense on this, is that you just want to get through the next 24 hours, right?
Absolutely. It's just one day at a time. You know, Al, I always remember, I think it's the first three words to the book, A Road Less Traveled. It says, life is difficult. And when I think about that, it means it's that way for everybody. Everybody's lives are difficult. People always have challenges, whatever they happen to be. And getting through those, and I think on a daily basis, doing the absolute best is the way to prepare for tomorrow.
I like that. I think that's very doable. It's not just hearsay. It's something that each one of us can implement in our lives. Again, I don't want to take a negative track here, but because we're, you know, because you've been so open about your life, you know, how dark can it get? Was there ever a point in your life where you just thought, hey, I'm just going to end it because there's just no end to this misery? You know, were thoughts of suicide, were thoughts of self-destruction beyond what you were already dealing with, beyond the drugs, beyond the alcohol? Has it ever gotten so bad where you just thought, you know, there's just no tomorrow?
It did. During my last incarceration, I gained 95 pounds, and I went up to 250 pounds when I had gotten out. It was May, and I was sure everybody was going to laugh at me, and they probably were. I just hated myself, and I didn't want to live. And that's why I think I just kept using and drinking. This self-hatred was a big thing, but I don't want to meet God like that. That I took my life, and then God says, that's what you did with your life. That's not going to happen for me.
You just said something that caught me. Hated yourself. That happens, I think, more often than we care to admit. We look in the mirror in the morning and we say, oh, I don't, you know, I'm talking about beyond, oh, I don't like the way my hair looks, or I wish I had thicker hair, or I wish I had blue eyes. I'm talking about looking at the whole picture and just saying, I'm disgusted with you, with me, basically. That's really, I guess that's the epitome of hitting bottom, right, Mike? And when you don't believe that you're worth anything, and I don't know how you can get any lower than that. So it sounds like you were at that point at one point, right?
I was, and it's so self-defeating. I think about, you know, people that do take their own lives, you know, they make a permanent decision because of a bad situation. And it happens so much. It happens so much. And it's just the way life is, but it's an awful thing to contemplate.
You and I come from we're baby boomers. And, you know, I don't know why, but my mind goes back so often, and you hear this. It's more cliche than anything else. But say, well, you know, back then things were great, but there was always problems. You know, life has never been easy for everybody 24/7. It just doesn't happen that way. But I do remember a time when there was, you know, prior to social media, prior to computers, and you know, more interaction, more exchange between human beings face to face. In other words, Mike, a simpler time. Today, we've evolved into a different world, and that's the nature of life. You know, you progress, you move from one step to another. I would have thought after reading the letter, after reading, you know, parts of your book, I would have said to myself, not only did he have the challenges of addiction and, you know, those demons within you, but the fact that, you know, prison time, all the things that most people would think, oh, I couldn't even survive all of that. You at this point in your life, here you are at 73, still willing to learn, still mastering computer programs, publishing your book, putting out stories about your life. I got to believe that, there was a seed planted way back 73 years ago that said, you know, there's no way that Mike, Foggy Michael, or Michael Gator in this case, is leaving this earth without some success in his life. Do you feel that way now?
I do. It's a gift, though. It was a gift. There's, you know, there's a little bit of good in the worst of us and a little bit of bad in the best of us. And that's just the way people are. But I believe deep down, there's the fundamental idea of goodness in everybody. And everybody has the capacity to connect to a higher power. I didn't put myself on earth. I was created. It wasn't just my mother and father. And I believe that God had a purpose for me. And it was not to drink and drug and go to prison and kill myself. It was to live my life like I'm trying to do today, so I can give it back to God now. It makes me very happy.
Does that philosophy, I got to believe that that when you talk to other people, whether they've had similar problems or groups that you talk to or just friends, that they listen to your story, especially those that have known you now for a while, know the history of your life, know of all the ups and downs. But hear that as you just explained to me, and look up to you now. And I got to believe that, again, in the process of transforming your life, that when you realize that people look up to you, and not because it's not an ego thing. I'm talking about, one, you had the courage to come forward and talk as you are this evening, talking about your life. But more importantly, it resonates with people because, as you said, we've all got problems, whether we want to admit it or not. We don't always know what's going on behind closed doors, as they say. That's had to have a major impact on you, right?
Yes, it does. I always think about ego, and because who doesn't have an ego? But I operate best when I stay humble. I have some talents. I'm using my talents. I can connect with people, but I try to keep myself right-sized and not start to think that I'm like the greatest thing going, because I'm certainly not. I'm just a little guy who's living his life the best he can, like everybody else.
Yeah. We WICN is a music station, one of the last jazz stations in the country. Music is a big part of the station's programming and has been since the day one. So when you mention a musician, and I know you said, you know, I listen to music, and like you, I do the same. To me, it's a personal therapy, whether it's in the car or at home, and you get that, you know, moments to yourself. You pick what type of music you like, and it seems to put all those problems on the shelf, at least temporarily. But for you, it sounds like music became bigger than that. It wasn't just about listening. It was about learning to play an instrument, learning to, I'll just say it right out front, writing music, perhaps? Have you written music? Have you written songs? Has that been a big part of the therapy?
No, I haven't yet. A couple months ago, I bought myself a keyboard because I've always played acoustic guitar, but I never stayed with it because the drugs always took over and the guitar went to the pawn shop, etc. But I bought this little Casio keyboard a couple months ago, and it's great therapy for my hands, which are damaged a bit, but for my heart, because I can learn songs and I can sing. And I think that's what a great gift. And another gift I'm just realizing too, Al, is I have the ability to cry. I can cry from joy, from sadness. It's just like laughing. It's just another way of expressing. But music is very important to me.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And as I said, I think everybody here at WICN would agree that, and certainly our listening audience would agree that music is a vital part of life. It's sometimes the sedative that we don't have to go to CVS and get. It's there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You just have to reach out for it. We've only got a few moments left, Mike. So let me ask you, as you look back, does regret play a big part, or have you just decided that, you know, if I feel regretful, I won't be able to move forward?
You know, there's plenty of regret that I have, you know, because I lost opportunities, the people that I hurt. I was going to be a doctor originally, and so I lost many opportunities, and regret like that can keep me buried. So I have it, I face it, but nope, not today. I'm past that, and I want to look to now and forward, not back.
Well, I got to tell you, that sounds pretty good to me. And considering the challenges that you've been through, the ups and downs throughout your life, and now the amazing turnaround that you've done, and the things you've achieved are just amazing. And I think anybody listening to the broadcast will certainly feel an inspirational tinge within their bodies. Before we close out, real quickly, though, Michael. If people wanted to reach out to you, perhaps even meet up with you, hear more about your life, is there a way of doing that?
There is. I'm on Facebook as Foggy Michael. And that's a good way to reach me. And there's also probably an email address that's on Facebook. But I would appreciate if people contacted me there, and I will answer whatever someone asks.
I think that's a, you know, an offer like that does not happen very often. Most people would shun speaking to, you know, complete strangers, let alone friends and family, about these challenges that Mike Gator has gone through. But and just coming on this evening, Mike, I have to kudos to you for having the, you know, the courage to talk about things that most of us would not talk about. But I think deep down inside, many people come away with a couple of emotions. One that you know, things can, you can overcome more things than you believe you cannot, and that positive thinking and that will to live, which is so vitally important. I think that's the main message here. Again, I want to thank my guest this evening, Michael Gator, amazing individual who has turned the course of his life, gone so many different ways, but has realized that life is precious, and this is the opportunity to turn it around and make something of himself and inspire others. If you have any questions about our broadcast this evening, we'd certainly like to hear from you and get your feedback. Our phone number is 508-752-0700. You can certainly pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. For the Public Eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stay well. Thank you.